The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Well, I want to officially welcome everybody on here on YouTube, on podcasts, and on Facebook. Again, if this is your first time joining us to one of these broadcasts, we want to welcome you to the broadcast, and we hope that you would let us know in the comments section below. Let us know that if this is your first time. And for all you guys coming back, maybe this is your second, third, or you're a regular listener or viewer of the broadcast, we welcome you tonight to the program. So let me get right into this thing. I want to talk about how this undetected sin attracts the roaming lion. How this undetected sin attracts the roaming lion. Now, base this. This is going to be our foundational scripture tonight. I started out in 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 in my devotional. And then the Holy Spirit began to show me layers on this, and I want to reveal this to you. I believe this is a message that will be a blessing to you when we peel back the layers of this. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9, I'm going to read this from the New King James, and then I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because I like how it words it and brings it out. So let me read it from the New Living Translation. And then I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. The New King James and then the New Living Translation. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now let me read this same verse of this same passage rather from the New Living Translation. Stay alert. That's what be sober means. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers, I love how that reads that, all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Come on, somebody. Have you ever felt like the devil has tried to convince you that you're the only one that's going through the battle that you're going through? You're the only one that's suffering the way you are. You're the only one that's having the marital problems. You're the only Christian that has these mental attacks. You're the only one that's having these physical attacks. Come on, you're the only one that tithes and gets hit in your finances. You're the only one that goes to church every time the doors are open, but it seems like all hell's breaking loose against you. The enemy will convince you that you're all alone, you're isolated, and that you're the only one going through that. But Peter tells us here that our family, when I say family, I'm talking about all of us brothers and sisters that are born again, believers in the Lord, we're in the kingdom of God, our Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. All of us are experiencing the same sufferings around the world. Now, I do believe that some brothers and sisters are suffering on a much greater level than what perhaps you and I, if you're listening to this and you're here in the United States of America, our persecution level is nowhere on the level it is with our brothers and sisters in places like Syria and China and Egypt and Saudi Arabia. Okay, so there is a much greater level of persecution there than we can ever, or at least what we're experiencing right now. Now, I believe as we get closer and closer to this thing wrapping up, I believe that that's going to change for us here, even in America. But I want to show you something here. Let me go to Revelation. So who is this roaring lion? Well, Peter tells you it's the devil. But then John the Revelator gives us an even better look at this. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. He says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Now, who is this accuser of the brethren that accuses the saints before God day and night? Now, this is speaking of a future event that has not yet taken place. Speaking of when Satan will be cast out of heaven to the earth permanently. He'll eventually be bound for 1,000 years. Then he'll be loosed out of his captivity. And then he'll be tossed into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever and ever. But right now he has access to heaven. And why does he have access? What is he doing in heaven? According to the revelation that was given to John the Revelator, he is there before the throne day and night. That's present tense. What he's doing right now is accusing us before God day and night. Come on. Day and night, the enemy will try to accuse you and bring up your past sins. He will bring up your past failures. He will bring up your past demise. He'll bring up your past lifestyle. He'll bring up your lifestyle when you were a druggie. He'll bring up your lifestyle when you were a drunk, when you were a fornicator, when you were an idolater, when you were sleeping around, smoking around, drinking around, snorting around, shooting up. He'll bring all that stuff up. Now, while we're on this subject, let me just plow a little bit deeper, if you don't mind. So when you see other Christians that are always bringing up another believer's past and always hanging it over their head, they're not operating out of the Spirit of God. They're operating out of the accuser of the brethren. They're partnering with Satan. Because see, come on somebody. God cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Did you know the Bible says that? He cast you and I sins in the sea of forgetfulness. But here's the problem. God is casting our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, but it's men that likes to fish them out. Let me say that again. It's God who likes to cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, but men like to fish them out. So I want to say this one more time because I want you to get this in your spirit. Every time you get on social media, when you get on Facebook and you get on Twitter and you get on blogs and you hear on YouTube or whatever, when you see men or women that are constantly bringing up the sins that are under the blood, the lifestyles that are under the blood, when they begin to accuse a brother or sister of things in their past, not present, but things they used to do that are already under the blood, they are not operating out of discernment. They're not operating out of the Holy Spirit. They're operating out of the accuser. They're partnering with the accuser of the brethren who is accusing our brothers and sisters day and night. Now you say, why are you getting quiet? Because it's Selah. It means I want you to think on that, ponder on that for a second before we move on. Now the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not to be ignorant of his devices. In other words, we shouldn't be walking around with blinders on, with our heads buried in the sand, not understanding and discerning how Satan operates how he operates on the earth. Again, let me read that. Paul said to the church of Corinth, unless Satan should take advantage of us, we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. See, once you understand this, once you gain knowledge of spiritual warfare, once you gain knowledge of how the enemy operates, once you understand how he manipulates, how he controls, how his schemes, his devices, his plots, his plans, he operates in seasons and cycles. Once you begin to understand this, once you begin to know this and gain this knowledge, then you begin to learn how to wage warfare against him. Come on, nobody knows your weakness like God and Satan. Let me say that again. Nobody knows better your weakness than God and Satan. Listen, God knows your faults. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your failures, but he still loved you anyway. He still called you anyway. He still destined for you to have a purpose anyway. He still uses you anyway. But Satan also knows your weaknesses, and thus according to the book of James, it says every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. Come on, have you ever noticed that in your weakness, it seems like the enemy always likes to hang you up in the same traps, the same cycles, the same weaknesses. And what this does is it breeds frustration. It breeds discouragement. And what the enemy wants you to do is throw in the towel rather than press on and press in. But I come by to tell somebody tonight, don't get discouraged. Don't get discontent. I love what the Word of God says. Though I have fallen, rejoice not over me, my enemy, for I shall rise again. So it's time that we wise up and be as Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8-9. We've got to stay alert. We've got to stay vigilant. For we got to know that our enemy, the adversary is like a roaring lion, and he's roaming to and fro seeking who he may devour. Now, this revelation that was given to Peter was not just given to Peter, but it was first revealed to us, and it was shown to us in the book of Job. I'm not going to read all this. 1 Job 1, let me read this, 1:6-8, just one little passage here. Now there was a day when the sons of God, that's angels in Hebrew, that's B'nai Elohim, there was a day when the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. Now notice he's before the Lord. Where is he? Before the Lord. Where is the Lord's throne? It's in heaven. Remember, John the Revelator said he accuses our brethren before the Lord day and night. All right, so he still has access to the throne, to God's presence. And Job, it says, Satan came with them, and the Lord said to Satan, now listen what the Lord asked Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answers him, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. Now that right there in Job 1 verse 7 is absolutely parallel with 1 Peter 5:8-9. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And then Job 1:7, Satan answers the Lord. And he says, where are you going? He says, from going to and fro on the earth, walking back and forth on it. Now, God understood Satan's intent. And he shows you right here in verse 8. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So he knew what he was up to. He knew what his plans were. He knew what he was plotting. He knew what his scheme was. Satan wasn't just walking up and down the earth because he was trying to get some exercise. He was trying to stay fit. He was trying to keep up with God because God was omnipotent and he was all over the place. So Satan knew he couldn't be. So he had to get fit. So he had to exercise. But no, that's not what he was doing. His intent was to seek who he would devour. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And then God starts bragging on Job. He says, there's none like him on the earth. He's blameless. He's an upright man. He fears me and he shuns evil. All right? And then you know the rest of the story. I'm not going to elaborate on that. So the question is, how do we fight off the roaring lion? How do we fight off the roaring lion? 1 Peter 5:9 gives us the answer. Peter says, you've got to resist him steadfast in the faith. But I'm going to tell you something. This is where you've got to peel layers and layers. This is where line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, comes into play. If we just read this face value, 1 Peter 5:9, oh, resist him steadfast in the faith. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of believers that get attacked by the enemy and they try just to resist him, but he ain't resisting. They try to rebuke him, but he's not rebuking. They try to tell him, they try to cast him away, but he's not leaving. Why? Because there's more to it than that. Watch this. Now, what I want to do, see, at the beginning of this, I read to you 1 Peter 5:8-9. But can we back up a few more passages? Because the law of interpreting scripture is you take passage before, during, and after, or the beginning, the middle, and the end, and you put them together in context. You can't just cherry pick scriptures out. And Christians do that all the time. They cherry pick scriptures out to validate this and validate that. But no, you can't do that. So let's go to 1 Peter 5, which is three verses above where we started out. Now listen to what he says. Peter says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Somebody say submit. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Somebody say humility. So we've got two words here. We've got submit and we've got humility. Now listen to this. For God resists the proud. Somebody say he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Who does he give grace to? The humble. Listen to verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. New King James says, in due time. King James says, in due season. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then he goes into, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Now, if you just read this verse without reading all of that, we miss a huge part of this. You ready for this? Let me give you another verse of scripture. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Listen to this. James 4, 6 and 7. But he gives more grace. Somebody say, I need more grace. It's okay. Grace is not a cuss word, guys. Listen, I do believe in real biblical grace. Come on, I don't believe in greasy grace, but I believe in biblical grace. And it says in James, he gives more grace to those who ask. So listen to this. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. This is the same thing that Peter said. James is reiterating it. But God gives grace to the humble. Now listen to this in verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, or therefore submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Wow. Let me read that again. Because see, everybody quotes James 7, the latter part. I tell you, brother, resist the devil and he'll flee. And they never read, therefore submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Because here it is, guys. If we're not submitted under God, submitted to his will, submitted to his precepts, submitted to his purpose, submitted to being obedient to what he says, to obey him and to treat our brothers and sisters how he's commanded us to do. If we are not submitted to the word of God and to what he's called us to do, then we are walking in disobedience and we're filled with, here it is, here's the sin, the undetected sin that a lot of Christians are walking in, that is opening the door for the roaming lion, the adversary, to attack them and leaving them vulnerable. Ready? Here it is. It's called pride. P-R-I-D-E. That's why the Lord keeps reiterating over and over again to be submitted unto God. Listen, it's hard to be full of pride and to be submitted to God. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. I said it's hard to be submissive to God and at the same time walking in pride. It's hard to walk in humility and walk in pride. It's hard to be a servant and be filled with pride. Oh, and by the way, it just so happens that the thing that got Lucifer cast out of heaven was because he became full of himself and full of pride. Thus, he was removed from heaven. Even the Bible says, when in regards to putting a novice into a position in the church, it says, let not a novice, come on, fill that position. I'm paraphrasing that. Lest they fall into the temptation of the devil, which is pride. They become puffed up. They become arrogant. And then they fall. Because what's the Bible say? Pride cometh before what? A fall. What comes before a fall? Pride. So I want to help somebody out tonight. Peter says that we're to be sober. We're to be vigilant. Knowing that our adversary, the devil, and he uses this picture of a lion walking around who he may devour. Now, you've heard me, some of you all that are regular viewers of our ministry or listeners, you've heard me use this illustration. This is an absolute illustration of if you go out into the wild, you go into the African safari, you're going to see the zebras and you're going to see the antelopes and you're going to see these animals that are stalked by lions. And these, and it's usually the females that hunt and not the males. But the females, they will, when they see a pack, when they see a pack of zebras or they see a pack of gazelles, when they see them, they watch the herd, they watch the pack and they observe it. They set off, they stand afar off. Listen to me, somebody, I'm trying to help you out. They stand afar off and they watch and they observe and they look for traits of which one of them in the pack is the weakest, which is the most vulnerable, which is the feeble one among them, the one that lays, the one that slacks behind, the one that's injured, the one that's wounded, the one that's old, the one that's not full of strength. The one that is not able to keep up with the pack and with the herd. And the roaring lion, the lions will watch, they will observe, and then they will prowl, and then they will make their move to devour the weak among them. Can I tell you the reason why the Holy Spirit put this illustration here in 1 Peter 5:8-9 is because he wants us to grasp this understanding, to be sober, to be vigilant. But when we are full of pride, it puts blinders on our eyes. It blinds us from, I'm going to use this word from 2 Corinthians that Paul used. It blinds us of Satan's devices. When we start walking in pride and full of pride, we don't see the attack coming because we're full of ourselves. We're full of our own notoriety. We're full of our own achievements. We're full of our own what we've accomplished and what we've done. I'm telling you guys, this is whether we admit it or not, there is a lot of believers that deal with this, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your family. Come on, there's a lot of people that want to win a fight but lose the war. Come on, they want to win a fight but they'll lose their marriage. They want to win a fight but they'll lose their job. Why? Because they're full of pride and they allow the door to be wide open for the enemy. So I hope you've been blessed by this message tonight. Listen, real quick before we pray, I'm going to pray for some folks here. But again, if this is your first time joining us, or if you're watching by Facebook, right there there's going to be a link right there where it says Support ETH. If you click on that, it's going to take you to our website where you can partner with us, support us. You can subscribe to us. You can be a part of this ministry, however the Lord puts on your heart. Again, all of this is free. The free digest is free. Email subscriptions are free. The messages are free. Everything's free. We're getting ready to create an app, or we're creating it right now as we speak. The app will be free. There'll be no charge for that. So we want you to get plugged in and be a part of our ministry. And there's several ways you do it. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com, RemnantRevival.org. All these locations that you can be a part of this. So let me pray for you guys again. All of you on podcasts and YouTube, you're going to hear more about this at the end of this message. You'll get more information on this broadcast as well. So Father, I lift up every individual under the sound of my voice that's listening by podcast, those that are watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook. Lord, I pray that we'd all do a self-examination right now. And Lord, if there's any area of our lives that has been filled with pride, we've allowed pride to creep in, whether it's in our walk with you, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's somewhere in our marriage, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our own personal lives. Lord, if we become arrogant and full of pride, and we're not humble servants, Lord, that we become so full of ourselves that we're putting our own... Lord, we're almost like on our own pedestal. And Lord, you said he who humbles himself will be exalted, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And Lord, I would much rather the Holy Spirit humble us through conviction than we be humbled through you pulling out the pedestal from out from underneath us. Lord, I'd much rather be chastened, Lord, in a way of discipline like this, rather than the anger of the Lord. And so, Father, we pray right now, God, that you would begin to reveal to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reveal to us by the Holy Spirit those areas in our lives that are like little hooks, that are pride, that we've allowed the enemy to come in and allowed us to have an open door for the adversary to come in like a roaring lion and make us vulnerable to his attacks. We repent, Lord God, of being full of pride. We repent of any area of our lives that we've allowed that pride to come in. And we ask that you take it out of our hearts, take it out of our lives, take it out of our ministries, take it out of our marriages, take it out of everything that we do. And we ask that we be clothed with a spirit of humility. And God, I'm asking, Father, that you see, and I feel like the Lord is shifting gears here a little bit, and there's another group of people that are watching this, and you are the group of people that you've humbled yourself. You've taken the low road. You've always taken last place. You have taken the seat in the back. You've allowed everybody to take the promotion, and you didn't. You have walked in humility. And you have been standing on this promise. You've been standing on this promise that he who humbles himself shall be exalted in due season. And Lord, I'm asking that that season would be now. I'm asking, Lord, they've humbled themselves for due season. They've humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God, and you promised in your word that they would be exalted in due season. And Lord, I come into agreement for their due season right now. Lord, those that have allowed others to take that position that they were praying for, that they worked hard for, that position, that promotion. Lord, that marriage that they have been praying, they've been fasting, they've made all the efforts to try to do counseling, and the other individual didn't. They've humbled themselves, and they tried to do everything they did. They have become weary and well-doing. But you said in due season, they would reap if they faint not. So God, I'm asking, according to your word, that their due season would begin to manifest. Lord, that the promotion would come. The raise would come. The blessing would come. The turnaround would come. The breakthrough would come. The healing would come. The restoration would come. The reconciliation would come. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe it, Lord God, because your word said it was so, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, listen, I hope you've been blessed by another session, another program, another devotional message this Monday. We will be taking off tomorrow, but we will, willfully and prayerfully, we will be back on here on Wednesday, and we will bring another message to you guys, or maybe a prophetic update, depending on what goes on. Let me give you some quick announcements real quick. This Sunday morning on the 10th, we will be back in Cordon, Indiana. We'll be ministering live there in Cordon, Indiana at God's Church there with, Pastor Tim. And his wonderful wife and his wonderful church. What a great blessing that's going to be. We're excited about that. We'll be back there. Then on the 17th, which is a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, we'll be back at Cornerstone for our gathering there in Cordon, Indiana as well. Again, pray for us, guys. We are continuing to work on the ETH app. That was going to be available for Android. It's going to be available for Apple. We're excited when that thing launches. We will promote that a lot so we can get everybody on board and know that that app has been released. Again, if you're watching online, you do not have a home church, or maybe you do have a home church and you'd like to be a part of an online gathering, we want you to join our ETH community group right there. Jessica just put it up right there where it says be sure to on Facebook Live, our community church. And you can click on that link. It's going to ask you some questions and you can join us live. Perhaps you don't have a church where you're at that's Holy Ghost filled, that's doctrinally sound. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. They don't believe in the whole Bible. And you just need to be plugged into a place where you can go and you can have people pray for you and believe for you for the impossible. Then we want you to join us. We want you to be a part of this group. Okay, if you're listening by podcast, you're listening by YouTube, again, if you go to endtimeheadlines.org, when you get on the website, you're going to see a up there at the tab at the top, you're going to see a tab that says eChurch. If you click on that, it's going to take you to the same location that we're talking about here on Facebook Live. So we want you to be a part of that as well. And again, we want to welcome everybody to prayerfully consider whatever the Lord puts on your heart to sow into this ministry. If this ministry is a continual blessing to you, if it's a continual source of encouragement, edification, information, revelation, whatever the case would be, weekly, then we want to encourage you to you can partner with us. The link is right there on Facebook Live. Again, all that information will be on this for YouTube and podcast after this. And again, we have a physical mailing address to give by check or money order. All that information is on those links and where it's going to be provided where we told you. So we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your partnership. And until we see you guys on Wednesday, God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.